Introduction. Which would you rather have, a beautiful mansion or $3 billion? Or freedom and a good reputation? Do you think you have enough in life? Do you want to know how to make $84.5 billion? The answer is in this summary. The greatest show on earth. The author, Morgan Housel, worked as a valet when he was in college. It was at an expensive hotel in Los Angeles. There was once a frequent guest who was a young technology executive. The guy is a genius. In his 20 seconds, he designed and patented a key component in making Wi-Fi routers. The young millionaire started and sold several tech companies. He was very successful, but he had a bad relationship with money. The guy carried a stack of $100 bills with him everywhere. He showed it to everyone who would listen. He was a bragger and a drunk man. One day, the guy called a valet and ordered him to go to the nearest pawn shop. The valet exchanged his bills for several $1 gold coins. What did the young millionaire do with the gold coins? He tossed them into the ocean. He called his friends, and together they threw the gold coins, just like playing with rocks on a lake. A few days after that, the young millionaire accidentally bumped into one of the hotel's lamps. The manager told him that the lamp was worth $500. The guy made a scene. He took a stack of bills from his pocket and shoved them into the manager's face. He said, "Here's $5. Don't show your face to me ever again." Maybe you're wondering if this is a true story. Maybe you're wondering what happened to the young millionaire. Yes, it's true. You will learn a few more stories like this in this summary. What happened next is that the guy went broke. After a few years, the young millionaire had spent every penny he had. All his friends and money are gone. You see, what you cannot buy with lots of money is good behavior. Here is another story. Once, there was a janitor named Ronald Reed. He was born in a small village. He was the first person in his entire family to finish high school. What's even more interesting is that Ronald only hitchhiked to school every day. Ronald's life is ordinary. He repaired cars at a gas station for 25 years. He cleaned floors at JCPenney for 20 years. Ronald bought a two-bedroom house when he was 38 years old. He bought it for $12. He lived there for the rest of his life. Ronald was married, but he never had children. His wife died when he was 50 years old. A neighbor said that his main pastime was chopping wood. The day that Ronald made the news headlines was the day that he died. It was in 2014. He was 92 years old. Ronald Reed was worth $8 million. He left $2 million for his two stepchildren. He donated $6 million to the local hospital and library. If you search for Ronald Reed on Wikipedia, you will see that he was a janitor, a gas station attendant, an investor, a philanthropist, and a millionaire. How did this happen? There is no trick here. Ronald did not win the lottery. He did not inherit his wealth. Ronald Reed saved money all those years and invested it in blue chip stocks. That's it. He never took an interest. He just let them compound year after year until they amounted to $8 million at the time of his death. Are you familiar with the concept of compounding? We will discuss it more later. Here is one more story you need to learn from. Let's take a look at a man who is the direct opposite of Ronald Reed. Richard Fuscone is an executive at Merrill Lynch. He earned his MBA at Harvard. He retired at 40 years old. A business magazine listed him as one of the 40 under 40 most successful people. Richard had an 18,000 square foot mansion in Connecticut. It had two swimming pools, two elevators, seven garages, and 11 bathrooms. The mansions cost $90 a month to maintain. Richard borrowed heavily to fund it. But then a twist of fate happened. The financial crisis of 2008 hit. Richard Fuscone lost everything just like that. He filed for bankruptcy in that same year. What can we learn from the stories of the young millionaires? Ronald Reed and Richard Fuscone. Financial success is not hard science. Finance is the only field where a simple man like Ronald Reed can succeed. A man with mediocre education and experience cannot be a great surgeon, architect, or engineer. But in finance, someone like Ronald Reed can be great. Financial success is a soft skill. Anyone can learn. It is a unique field where how you behave is more important than how much you know. This is the psychology of money. No matter who you are and where you came from, money can make your head bigger. You always need to watch out for it. Everyone can be rich, but not everyone can be humble. Never Enough, the founder of Vanguard, John C. Bogle, once told this story. There was a party at a billionaire's house. In one corner are Kurt Vonnegut and Joseph Heller. They were talking about the income of their host, who is a hedge fund manager. Kurt commented on how the man's income in one day is more than what Joseph made for his novel Catch-22 throughout the years. Joseph's reply is truly remarkable. He said that he had something that the hedge fund manager would never have, and that is enough. What's your source of income right now? Can you say that you know what is enough? Let's learn from the story of these two people. Rajat Gupta was a poor boy from Kolkata. He was an orphan, but he became the CEO at age of 45. Rajat was CEO of McKinsey, one of the world's best consulting firms. He retired from the company in 2007 and took key positions at the United Nations and the World Economic Forum. Rajat also became a board director in 5 different companies. From the slums of Kolkata, he became one of the richest businessmen alive. In 2008, Rajat was already worth $100 million, but he was never satisfied with that sum. Now that he is a centimillionaire, he wants to become a billionaire. He wanted to be in that circle. Rajat was then a board director of Goldman Sachs. He made a move to make himself a billionaire. In 2008, Goldman Sachs was in the middle of an economic crisis. Warren Buffett decided to invest $5 billion in the company to save it. As a board member, Rajat learned about it earlier than the public. The funding of Warren Buffett will surely make the stocks of Goldman Sachs go very high. 16 seconds after the board meeting call, Rajat called a hedge fund manager named Raj Rajaratnam. The call was never recorded, but Raj immediately bought a total of 175.000 Goldman shares. Hours later, the deal with Warren Buffett was announced to the public. The stocks of Goldman immediately went up. Raj made $1 million in just a matter of hours. The prosecutors reported that Rajat earned $17 million in profit. This is a classic case of insider trading. Rajat Gupta lost all his riches and went to prison. He also lost his reputation. Rajat already had $100 million. Why did he want $1 billion more? He already had wealth, fame, power, and freedom. Yet he threw it all away because he wanted to have more. Rajat Gupta had no sense of enough. We can learn 3 lessons from this story. Lesson 1. The hardest financial skill to stop acquiring. The taste of more power, more fame, and more money increase ambition a lot faster than satisfaction. At this point, when you don't make a move forward, you feel as if you're falling behind. And the only way to catch up is to take bigger and bigger risks. Modern capitalism is very good at 2 things. They are generating wealth and generating envy. The person loses the sense of enough. Lesson 2. Social comparison becomes a problem. Imagine a rookie football player who earns $500 per year. He is already rich. But if we compare him to Mike Trout, who has a 12-year contract worth $430 million per year, the rookie seems broke. Now imagine a hedge fund manager who earns $36 million. However, the top 10 highest paid hedge fund managers in 2018 earned at least $340 million per year. $36 million is now low in comparison. But what if the top 10 hedge fund managers, earning $340 million per year, compared themselves to the top 5? Each of the top 5 hedge fund managers earns $770 million. What if those top 5 compare themselves to the likes of Warren Buffett, who got richer by $3.5 billion in 2018? What if Warren Buffett wants to be on the level of Jeff Bezos, whose net worth is $24 billion in 2018? See, the point is that the ceiling of social comparison is very high. It would never make anyone wealthy. When you are playing the game of "I want to be rich just like my friends," you will never win. There is no limit. There is no point where you are satisfied. The only way to become a winner is to not fight at all. Accept that you have enough, even if those around you are scrambling for more. A dealer in Las Vegas once said that the only way to win at the casino is to leave as soon as you enter. Imagine yourself at a party in an executive village. You and your friends are discussing who is richest, who has the biggest house, who is most famous, and who is most admired. There is no winner. The man or woman who is content with what he or she has, who lives happily in a small house surrounded by a loving family, wins. Lesson 3. Some things are more valuable than wealth, fame, and power, no matter how much they cost. Rajat Gupta said this in his interview with the New York Times after he was released from prison. He was asked what lesson he learned from this experience. Don't get too attached to anything. Your reputation, your achievements, any of it, they don't matter. This whole thing destroyed my reputation, but I have learned not to be so attached to it. Rajat Gupta wanted to save his face. He is justifying his actions. He is comforting himself that his reputation does not matter to him anyway. But this is wrong. Reputation is priceless. Freedom is priceless. Family and friends are priceless. Loving people and being loved back are priceless. Happiness is priceless. The way to get all of these is to know when to stop taking risks. To know when enough is enough. Confounding compounding. Lessons from one field can help us understand another. Did you know why the ice ages happened a long time ago? It is quite similar to how compounding grows your money in an investment. It was only in the 19th century that scientists agreed that the Earth underwent the ice ages. The evidence is too clear to be ignored. We did not only have one ice age. The Earth has been through 5 ice ages, of which we can now accurately estimate the dates. Can you imagine the amount of energy needed to cover the entire planet in ice, melt it, and then freeze it all over again? This happened 5 times. What could have caused these phenomena to happen? There are plenty of theories as to why the ice ages occurred. One said that the movement of the mountain ranges caused the change in the climate. Another said that ice was the natural environment of the Earth and it was only interrupted by volcanic eruption. However, these theories can only explain one ice age. They are unable to endure the fifth cycle. In the early 1900s, Milutin Milinkovic, a Serbian scientist, studied the Earth's position in the solar system. He concluded that the gravitational pull from the Sun and Moon affected the Earth's tilt. Milinkovic said that there are times when the Earth is tilted a little bit more and it gets more solar radiation than usual. This change in the Earth's hemisphere caused the extreme winters that were enough to cover the planet in ice. A Russian meteorologist, Vladimir Kopin, added a condition to the theory. He said that the unusual tilt caused the planet to have slightly cooler summers. It was the kind of summer that never gets warm enough to melt all the previous winter's ice. After the summer, there are still areas of the planet covered in ice. That made it easier for ice to accumulate in the coming winter. Every passing year, the amount of ice accumulates until eventually there becomes an ice age. See, this is very similar to the concept of compounding. Let's say that you started investing 10% of your annual salary in an index fund. Your annual interest rate is 10%. So, next year, you will have 10% of your salary x 10% interest rate. Then you add another 10% of your salary for 2022. Every year you add 10%. And every year your 10% interest rate also grows. If you do not take out any of this money for the next decades, you will become a millionaire. The ice age happened because of slow accumulation. Compounding interest also means slow accumulation. Did you know that Warren Buffett started investing when he was 10 years old? He never used any of his interests. He just let it accumulate over the years. Warren Buffett already had $84.5 billion when he was 89 years old. That is the result of discipline and 8 decades of compounding. If you calculate it, Warren Buffett only acquired $84.2 billion of this wealth after his 50th birthday. That is how powerful compounding is. Think about this equation. Add 8 9 times, we will get 72. But what if you multiply 8 by itself 9 times? We will get 134,217,728. See the difference? Warren Buffett did not think of wasting away his money when he was 20 or 30 years old. He did not quit investing even when he was 60 or 70 years old. He just kept on going consistently. He did it for a quarter of a century. There are a lot of books talking about Warren Buffett's wealth. Again, it's $84.5 billion. He started investing at 10 years old and stopped at 89 years old. If there is an accurate book about his compounding, it should be entitled, Shut Up and Wait, Getting Wealthy versus Staying Wealthy. There are many ways to get wealthy, but there is only one way to stay wealthy. Let us learn from the stories of these two investors. Jesse Livermore was one of the best stock traders of his day. He was born in 1877. He became a trader before the world knew that anyone could be a trader. When he was 30 years old, Jesse had already earned $100 million. In 1929, the stock market crash that caused the Great Depression happened. It was all over the news. Many stock traders on Wall Street are committing suicide. That day, October 29, 1929, Jesse's family was waiting at home. His wife and 2 kids are waiting for him by the door. His mother-in-law was crying inside the bedroom. Jesse came home. He was shocked, but not because he was broken. He then informed his wife of the good news. It turns out that Jesse made the bet that stocks would decline, and he was right. Because of that, Jesse became incredibly rich that day. He made $3 billion just that day. On October 29th, when everyone bets that the stock prices would keep going up, Jesse predicted that they would go down, and he became a billionaire. A different story happened to Abraham Germansky. Abraham was a rich real estate developer. He became a millionaire in the 1920s, just like most of the other traders. Abraham bet heavily that the stock market would continue to go up. A few days after the crash, Abraham went missing. He took his own life. Now let's go back to Jesse Livermore and continue his story. After the 1929 crash, Jesse was overconfident and unstoppable. He made bet after bet, and his bets became larger after every win. Jesse thought that his success would just keep on going. But in 1933, he lost all his money in the stock market. Jesse also went missing a few days later, and he took his own life. The same thing happened to him 4 years later. He ended up just like Abraham. See, both men are good at getting wealthy, but they are bad at staying wealthy. Getting money is one thing, but keeping it is another matter. To get money, you need to get out there. You need to take risks. You need to be optimistic. But to keep money, you should be humble. You should always remember that at any time, any second, all your wealth can be taken away from you. Because that is life. Sometimes you're at the top. Sometimes you're at the bottom. Keeping money also requires being thrifty, and also accepting the fact that part of your wealth came from luck. No matter how you got it, always remember that in life, you will not always have success. There is also failure and defeat. yesterday's success does not guarantee tomorrow's good fortune. Let us go back to Warren Buffett and how he kept his wealth for over 70 years. He started investing when he was 10 years old and let it grow over the years. He had $84.5 billion at 89 years old. Warren Buffett is good at investing. He knew the best companies to invest in. He knew the cheapest stocks. He knew the most effective management. That is how he got his wealth. But this is how Warren Buffett kept his wealth. He did not get carried away. He did not panic and sell his stocks in the 14 recessions that he encountered. He did not risk his reputation. He did not attach himself to one strategy, one opinion, or one passing trend. He did not quit and he did retire. He kept on compounding even after 65 years old. Warren Buffett survived. Conclusion: you learned about the young tech genius who threw $1 gold coins into the ocean. You learned about Ronald Reed, the janitor who donated $8 million. You learned about Richard Fuscone, the Harvard MBA graduate and real estate investor who lost all his money in the 2008 crisis. You learned about Rajat Gupta, the man who had $100 million and still wanted $1 billion more. You learned about Jess Livermore in Abraham, Germany. One man earned $3 billion in one day. One man lost all his money. Both of them committed suicide. Finally, you learned about Warren Buffett. Of all these people, who do you want to be like? Remember that your reputation, freedom, family, love, and happiness are more valuable. They are more valuable than any amount of money, power, or fame. Remember that the world is round. Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. There are millions of ways to get wealth, but only one way to keep your wealth. Be humble. Be thrifty. Be content with what you have. Spend time with the people you love the most. They are your greatest treasure.